Well, Tommy, you're here in the Sneem Hotel for this gathering of the cyclists of the 50s and 60s. How are you enjoying it?
Well, the 50s are picking, you know. There's our friend here that we went to Melbourne with, and I really was hesitant about coming. And this man had that on to me for months.
Yeah.
And he followed me up on it, and that was him and a horn, but I'm glad I came. It was the best outing I've been at in a long, long time.
Why is it so great?
It's so great to meet all the friends. I didn't think it'd come to this, that we see so many. I might say we come down and we see a half a dozen or something, but here he is with 40 or 50 fellas I knew back in the past and fellas I haven't met in 57 years.
Yes,
yeah. Really?
Unbelievable. Come here, how many races did you cycle in?
Cycling 3.5. I pulled out of the last one in 1957. We came back from Melbourne and we were two spoil gossins. And this man was saying, we says, we saw everything.
Party says you saw everything.
Saw everything.
How did you do in those Rosses?
I done all right. I won a stage in the first Ross, 8-day Ross, in 1954. And I won a stage in the 1955 Ross.
Yeah.
And my best place finishing was fifth in 55, I think.
Yeah,
that was it. But
now, if I could bring you along, how were you chosen for Melbourne then? Bring us to the how you finish up in 56.
Why I was chosen with Paddy. Paddy won the Ross Tarleton in 56, and I won the national championship, which was 10 races picked out from all around the country on a pints basis. And you accumulated your pints from first, second, or third, wherever you went. There was races in Mayo, Kerry, Cork, Meath, Dublin, even up in the north.
Yeah.
So the 10 races. It took a lot of moving around during the year. I think I followed up them races too much that year and let Paddy Fitzgerald win the Ross.
Yeah, maybe so.
I'm only kidding about that. I would never be able to take him.
Was it a two-man... bring us up to Melbourne now and explain to our listeners about why ye shouldn't have gone, why ye did go, and was it how many team was it? How many in the team?
There were four picked on the team.
Who were the four?
No, the four was Paddy, myself, and there was a Mead man, Gerard, had emigrated to Australia a year or two before that.
Yeah.
They selected him, and there was a Con Car from County Kildare, which didn't make it.
What was the political situation, Tommy, to explain to us?
Well, you see, there was a split of the association here from way back, from the GA and the NCA were all the one, but there was a three bodies in Ireland. There was the NCA, which was ours, controlled cycling both north and south the border. We had members up the north and clubs up the north. The other crowd, CRE at the time, had clubs here in the 26th county, and then they had another body in the north. Now, there was cyclists. Well, the English Cycling Association didn't claim we had any restriction to pick cyclists from the north of Ireland, which were entitled to go if they were good enough at the time.
Yeah.
So we were a 32-county association, and they didn't like the idea that we were representing all Ireland. The other association were affiliated with the Olympic Council here, and they were recognised more than we were at the time.
So ye decided to enter four-man team in the 56 Olympics.
Is right.
So tell us about heading off and how did you raise funds and stuff?
Oh, we raised, each county had to raise their funds. And our county had done very well, raised £500 at that time. It was a lot of money by Churchgate collections and donations from clubs and things. There were some church collections might have got 15 and sixpence and two by collecting all day long, and Paddy down in Kerry they'd done the same and came up with the money. Kerry was a bit slow coming, but because I took off before him.
Yeah.
I went off from, I told you that, I went off from Shannon Airport and on the morning with seen off by the great Olympics, Paddy Callaghan, Olympic champion from the 28-22 Olympics.
Yeah.
Jim Killeen, President of the Association, and friends of mine. And waiting at Shannon Airport for Paddy Fitzgerald to join me and go.
Yeah.
And he hadn't arrived.
Yeah, so you went off on your own?
Yeah, sent off on my own with two suitcases, leaflets in it, if we didn't get our way in Melbourne to protest, a bicycle, tracksuits. And I loaded down to the last. But the worst part of it was, I repeat my story from last night, of someone, my plane was delayed.
Yeah.
And I had to get a flight later on, 3/4 hour later. So the people that was meeting me in New York weren't there when I arrived.
Right.
And I had nowhere to go. I had a bicycle and all these things. Come out of the airport, which was idle, all the airport, there's Kennedy now. got a taxi to take me to this address downtown the Bronx in New York, which I didn't know was 2 mile or 10 mile or 15 mile away. Mm-hmm. And the taxi driver didn't want to take me because I had a bike, yeah. Wouldn't leave the boot open, so I had to dismantle the bike and take wheels out and put in the back seat. Yeah. And he took me to the address. I'll speed it up. I told Paddy this time, so often, got the address in the Bronx, which was an hour's drive, or maybe he took me around the city where I drive, the taxi driver. I didn't know where I was going. Well, I got $15 off Pan American Air, which are allowed for your expenses for the night.
Yeah.
Taxi driver told her, hold on, nobody here. Take me back to a hotel near the airport, which I was taking off from the next morning. Took me back. His fare was $15.
Yeah.
There goes me $15 expenses.
Yeah.
I had no money to pay my hotel. Yeah. So I hold on again, I says to him. Take me out the airport. Get money changed into dollars to pay my hotel. Back at the hotel, 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. Into my hotel, 2 o'clock in the morning, a bang on my door. Three men, well-dressed men, with hats on. I thought they could be mafia or anyone. There was a chain on the door. I opened and looked out. Well, I let them in or I'll talk to them or what. They were Dr. Frank Monaghan, Joe Steins, a former All-Ireland footballer, played All-Ireland with Dublin and Kerry and won and had to go from the troubled times to American immigration.
He'd been the father of Jim Steins.
He'd be the granduncle of
Jim Steins.
Aye.
Yeah.
And took me out to see me New York at that time. Got me back in the place at 4 o'clock in the morning. Back, got me a few hours sleep. They says, I'll be here in the morning to look after your hotel for you to take you to the airport. And they were. Yeah. Paid for my hotel, got in the car, took me to the wrong airport.
Yeah.
Idlewild was coming in.
Yeah.
LaGuardia was going across America. Wrong, it missed my flight again. On to California, on to San Francisco, next stop. No one to meet me again. The same thing, me baggage. Downtown San Francisco, booked into the Plaza Hotel. Nobody around, I didn't know. But they got in contact me. Timmy Rowan, a Kerry man, came and picked me up that evening in the Plaza Hotel, took me out to the airport, or took me home to his house for dinner with his family. Till 11 o'clock at night, take me out to the airport, San Francisco, to head for the next stage of my journey to Hawaii, aren't it? Well, booked in, my ticket's in, VIP, someone wants to see you in the VIP lounge. God, Pat Tyrone says, don't go near them, it's press, so we're trying to get information on our trip. No, he says, someone wants to see you, I don't think it's press. So I've actually brought me up a grand room, and here was a gentleman above, living in luxury, Paddy Fitzgerald,
yeah.
Caught up with me.
He did.
I threw my arms around him and I said, Jesus.
You were glad to see him.
Oh, God, I was. I have someone with another half of my trip.
Bring us forward now to the race, to the Olympic race, and what happened to you that day?
Well, we were all ready to go. We took off that morning out in a van, supplied by a Kerry man too, Paddy. Healy, was it?
Paddy Kelly.
Paddy Kelly. Took us out the airport. We were ready and all, tracksuits on, joined in the, get ready for the race, lined up with the rest from all over the world, cyclists. We had our tracksuits on and we don't know how we were spotted, but we had, the countdown was on, sat around 20, ducked back 19, the next thing to stop, down the way, someone spotted us. Or someone, these Irishmen, we had taken off our tracksuit, we had Ireland written on it, and they called in the officials, so the officials came in to take us, why we weren't allowed to take part. Tried to explain to us we weren't officially entered in it.
Yeah.
And we says we were entered. Entered was sent, but it was refused. So after a bit of an argument, the race was held up, it was hitting the headlines, we were called in, the police was called in, to take us gently away, take our bikes from us.
Did you go gently?
We did, and we did go gently. But then we had a backup. We had people in the stadium around on the stands with our leaflets ready and our protests written out on them. They were scattered all over the place. Oh, I barely got them, read them. We got sympathy from the English cyclists over it. Some of them, I know Jackson, but he shook hands with me coming off. They pulled us away. That sympathised, we weren't allowed to take part. So we were taken away, held up till the race got going, and after a lap of the race, to let us out. No, we had, we let go. There was a big marquee, as big as Sneem Hotel, with press all over it and telephones and were interviewing us and all kind of languages, trying to get the story, what's going on here. So they finished that way anyhow. And in fact, St. Paddy, the Cronin was one of the men that led me off. There was a picture of a big man, little me, he leading me off, invited us to his house that evening for dinner, which we said we'd go, but we didn't. Yeah. We were let out free after a while. We went out the road to see the race going by, lying in the grass, enjoying the sun, and it was really hot. Next to the cyclists come round shouting at us, get out of there, there's snakes in that grass. Yeah. We're lying out. Yeah. That's the story of it. Yeah. We headed back into town that evening after the race, in the van again with Paddy Kelly, and he's looking after us. And over the city with the big lights of the newspaper thing flashing, Irish and Games Rumpus, Irish and Games Rumpus flashing up. Yeah. On the screen. So Ronnie Delaney's victory was forgotten.
Were you glad with the publicity?
Oh, great, great. Yeah. We got great publicity. When headlights.
When you came home then, Tommy, to Ireland, was there a lot of publicity waiting for you?
Well, we were good while away. We were back in... We had a few weeks in Melbourne before we took off for America. Nearly two weeks in San Francisco, and we 4 or 5 weeks in New York. This man went up to Springfield, Connecticut, to see friends up there, to speak Irish still up there.
How did the police treat you when they took you off the track?
Unbelievable.
Were you locked up?
No, we weren't. They were just held on, kept us in around their area till the race got away. And they knew then we couldn't get involved in it, really.
Yeah. Paddy, you were going to say something there?
Yeah, we stayed with a lovely man in New York.
Yes.
A man by the name of Joe Steins.
Yes.
He won an All-Ireland with Dublin, a Kildare man.
Yeah.
He was a lovely man. Lovely. He took care of us in there. And we were royally treated by John Kerry O'Donnell. He had
He threw a function for us in Gaelic Park.
Yeah.
Over the Gaelic Association in New York.
Yeah.
He threw a function in Gaelic Park for us.
Yeah.
And big outing, terrific.
Yeah, yeah.
We were going. We were even brought to a radio station, want him to, for an interview in New York.
Yeah.
For I know the name well. He was from the dock, the man, I think, McArdle or something was his.
Paddy, you were his partner. Do you want to add anything onto that day in Melbourne?
Not really. In fact, I was very pleased and happy last night because we were talking over the years. I've been talking about it to various people, including myself, very often. And I wondered, was I imagining some of it? Or was there any truth in it?
Yeah.
Or was I elaborating on it?
No.
But last night, when I met Tommy, and we haven't met or talked about it until last night, and I started some story, and I left Tommy continue, you know, just to find out, was I imagining these things or not? And we both collaborated and we both were in one word in every single thing we said.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was delighted with myself.
Yeah. Are you glad that she did what she did?
Of course. And, you know, we drew attention. We got worldwide publicity. Unbelievable.
Yes.
We took over the front page of the Melbourne Herald the next day and photographs and everything.
Yeah.
So we got world press. Head started to roll.
Back in New York as well.
Yeah.
We got the Irish papers had it. Over the thing, when the reception in Gaelic Park was thrown for us, they had all the story of it too.
The other two members of your team, Tommy, tell us about them now. Where are they?
Jarrett's back, still living in Australia. Tom Jarrett.
Yeah.
He was a bead man, living out. He was immigrated out there. Con Carr, I don't know.
Con is dead.
Is he
yes.
dead?
Yeah. But
he
something.
Was older than us.
Did you meet last, the two of you, Tommy and yourself?
Well, that's another story.
Yeah.
Where we met a few years ago now. My wife was alive at the time. I was out cycling on the road.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, tell us the story, yeah.
On a road that he wouldn't be, shouldn't be on.
Yeah.
Coming over at by to Navan, and this car with a Kerry registration KY passed me out and it parked up the road. Oh, I said, that's strange. I went on, it didn't slip down, it went on the road. Here it's parked up the road for that, and a man starting out beside it. And there is Paddy for sure.
Paddy, you were driving along the road, you looked in your rear mirror and you passed the cyclist.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, Joan, well, that's the lad that was in Melbourne with me.
Yeah.
So I pulled over and got out and waved to Tommy.
And how many years after was this?
Oh, this must be how many, Tom?
Well, this was, I'd say, 40, well, near 48, 9 years.
Yeah.
Must be.
Yeah.
But you're saying there about the publicity and all that that we got. There's one thing that sticks out in my mind all the time. The people in Melbourne, they were very good to us.
Yeah.
And one of their newsletters carried the headlines that these boys won no medals.
Yes.
But they won the admiration of the Irish people worldwide.
That about sums it up, yeah. I would think so. Well, we were, as some people might say, well, we shouldn't go out there protesting, but we were happy with what we'd done.
Yes, yeah.
And
yeah.
In the finish, as Paddy Callaghan says there, how it's all settled in one association now. Them protests helped to solve this split in Irish cycling.
Yeah.
Now they're all one body and fellas can go cycling all over the world without any question being asked.
Yes,
well, we couldn't. If Paddy Fitzgerald wanted to go to France back in them times, he wouldn't be allowed.
Yeah.
Or cycling England, I wouldn't be allowed.
When did you finish cycling, didn't Paddy?
The year after I came back from Melbourne, I went in the 57 Ross, was my fourth one. I pulled out of it. I wasn't training. The boys coaxed me to go in it and I wasn't racing. I was
what age you know?
I'm 78 and a half. I'll be 79 next April.
God, you're still fit enough, Paddy. He's still fit enough to cycle a race.
And he still cycles every.
And I do go out still.
You do. Come here. It was great talking to you, Tommy. I'm after talking to Paddy. Listen to me. The two men who went to Melbourne and created that protest way back in 1956, ye overshadowed Ronnie Delaney. Well done.
Thank you.